This is a little learning. So the end of Parshas Tetzave, after we open with a whole discussion about the menorah, we move into the details of the priestly vestments, and that's followed by the installation rites. And then, very interestingly, at the end of Parshas Tetzave, we return to the instructions regarding the actual Mishkan, and we hear about the last of the kelim, the last of the artifacts that has not yet been detailed. It's the 30th chapter of Exodus. It's where the seventh reading usually begins. The Asisa, Mizbeach Mikdar Ktedis. The Ktedis says you should make, you have the artisans make an altar, and this is for the purpose of burning incense. Atze Shittim Taase Oso. It should be made of acacia wood. So the same wood that you use for everything else is the same wood that's used for the Mizbeach. However, this Mizbeach, which is going to be Amma Orkoi Va'amma Rogboi, in its length and breadth it'll be an Amma. Ravua Yiye, so you have a perfect square. Amma Sayim Koimosoi, it's a rectangle, it's twice as high as it's wide and long. It's two Amot high. And Mimenu, from it comes Karnoisevich protrusions in the corners. When you finish building this little wood platform, this little artifact, Vitzipisa Oisai Zohov Toher, then you have to coat it with the purest gold. It's Gagoi V'Eskiresov, the top, the roof, if you will, the counter, and the walls, Soviv around, V'Eskarnoisov, and the protrusions. V'Asisa Loi Zeir Zohov Soviv. You'll make a serrated edge, like a crown of sorts, that goes round and round. Let's take a look in Rashi, who says that Mikdar Ketores, it says you should make a Mizbeach, and the Mizbeach is Mikdar Ketores. So Rashi tells us, Mikdar Ketores is not the name of this Mizbeach, but rather, this is what the Mizbeach is going to be, so to speak, used for. As we hear, Mikdar Ketores means Lahal, he said, Alav, so that you should bring upon it Kitur Oshon Samim, the smoke of burning incense. So that means, in other words, Mikdar is the verb, if you will. That's what you're doing. And the noun is Ketores. That's the incense. And you cover it with gold. And that includes Gagoi, that includes the roof. So Rashi says, what does it mean, Gagoi? Zeh, this Mizbeach, unlike the outer altar, which was hollow, which did not have a top, Hoyolegag, this did have a top. Avol Mizbeach, Hoylo. But the altar upon which was burnt, the typical offerings, Lehoyolegag, it did not have a top. Elo, rather, it was empty. Umimalin, Chalolayadoma. The inside of the altar was filled entirely with earth. B'chol chaniyosam. So every time they camped and they broke for camp, they had a big job to do, a lot of earth to dig and pile into the altar. So the altar was actually an altar of pure sand or soil. I don't think you get soil in the desert, it's probably sand. And that was the roof of the altar, if you will, was actually sand. And that's very different from this little altar that does not have any sand in it, actually remains hollow, but the top is pure as gold. Zeir Zahav, what is this serrated crown-like edge? Dare I say corona? Well, what was the point of this little crown on top? So Rashi says, Simanhu lekeser kuhuna. This was indicative, a sign for the crown of priesthood. So we all know that in Pirkei Avot, in the fourth chapter, in the 13th Mishnah, over there we have a discussion that Shleisha Ksarim Heim, that there are three crowns. There's a crown of Torah, Keser Torah, there's a crown of priesthood, and the crown of Malchus. And the Gemara in Yuma explains to us on page 72 where the three crowns are actually seen in the Beis HaMikdash or in the Mishkan. That you had the Aron had a crown and it represented the crown of Torah. That there was a crown on the Mizbeach, and that corresponded to Kahuna. And then the Shulchan, or the table, representing the prosperity of the Jewish people, or the national concerns, this is the job of a monarchy. So that crown, that zeir, represents the crown of Malchus. And then we go on to hear about the fact that in addition to building a mizbeach, in verse 4 we hear, Shtei tabois zohov ta'asaloi. You have to make two rings of gold. And that's mitachas lezeir, it's underneath the crown. And it's levatim, levadim. These will be like to house these staves or these poles. Losais oise bahema, so that the small altar might be carried with it. What do you make the badim? What do you make the staves out of? So he says, so the staves are made also of the same wood, atze shitim, and they too, vitzipisa oisam zov, they too are covered with the notion of this pure as gold. So we have the altar, we have the rim, which signifies the honor, the glory, or dignity, which is due to the Kohanim, which is known as the Keser Kohuna. And finally, we have these poles in order to make the Mizbeach transportable, so that it can be moved from location to location. That's by which it would be carried. Rashi says, Tzal Oisav, what is the meaning of its Tzela? Most people think that Tzela means a rib, at least that's what they understand or misunderstand with Adam Achava. So Rashi tells us very clear that Tzela, with regard to the Mishkan, meant a side, like it says, the north side, the west side, it's called Letzela HaMishkan. But here, it doesn't mean a side, here it means yet another thing, it means a corner. Kanu Lashon Zavis, it means corners, as Rashi says. Kitargume, as the Targum renders it, on the two corners. Lefisha Nemar, because it says Al Shnei Tzidov, on the two sides. And then it says Tzalaisav. So you cannot say a tzela is a side, because in the pasuk it says Ashtei tzal oisav, and if a tzela means a side, then the verse basically repeated itself twice. Then verse four said you should make two rings of gold, and they will be on its side, and then he says again that it should be Ashtei tzidav on the two sides. So therefore, the first one or the second one has to mean something other than a side. Tzad always means a side. Tzela might mean something else. So Rashi tells us, based on Unklus, that it means a corner. Al shtei zivosiyav shebeshtei tzidav. Are the two corners of this square arc, square mizbeach. Vahoya, what will be? So he says, what will be, not the poles will be. Maisa hataboisa elu. These poles, these rings will serve levotim levadim, as a home, as the place, the receptacle, the receiving area for the staves. Bayis tiyah hatabas levod. The ring will be a home, a resting place, the place where the poles live, if you will. V'nasata oisil lefnei v'haparoiches. Now we hear about the placement of this gold altar. It should be before the paroches, before the curtain. Asher al ha'oron ha'edus, which is on the Ark of Testimony, lifnei kaporas. This is in front of the cover. Asher alo edus, which is on the testimony. Asher evoy luchashama. There, where I'm going to make myself known to you. That's the big communications device, the satellite dish. That's the cover of the ark that has the cherubim that would receive the divine broadcast through which Moshe Rabbeinu would hear. And then, what do you do? So we know how to make it. We know where to place it. And verse 7 tells us what you do with it. V'hikdir olav arden k'teira samem. Aaron will bring this incense b'boiker b'boiker every morning v'hitivoy esanedos, when he is going to make the lamps good. That is literally the meaning of v'hitivoy esanedos. But Rashi will explain to us that v'hitivoy means when he cleans, when he purifies or prepares. That Rashi says lefnei ha'pareches in Vav. He says, Shema Tamer, lest you say that the Mizbeach is right between the menorah and the Shulchan, corresponding immediately to the Ark. So he says, no. Mashuach keneged ha'arin, but letzofin eladarim. It is parallel to the Ark. However, it's moved off in a different direction. You might think it'd be moved off to a side. Tamer lemer lefnei ha'kapayres. It's mechuvin keneged arim mevuchatz. Arin is right in the middle. And this altar was parallel, set back into the easterly direction, but it was perfectly parallel to the ark. Heitivoi, making lamps good. Rashi says this means Lashon Nikoi Habazichin. This means that the holders of the lamps would be cleansed of the menorah, Mideshan, from the remnants or the ashes of the psilis shenisifu balayla, of the wicks that were burnt over the night. So the menorah would be prepared in the morning, and then after it was prepared, that's when the incense would be brought. And then as we go on to say in verse 8, then once we get to afternoon, where the menorah is going to be fired up again, that's when Yaktirenu Kteiris, once again, incense is brought, Talmid Lufnei Hashem Uderesechem, continuously or always before God for all of your generations. So we know how to build it, where it goes, and what's done with it. Adding a little more spice to the incense. So when we hear this business of the Asisim is Be'ech Miktar Kteiris, the first, the most obvious question we ask ourselves is, all of the artifacts were discussed in Parshas Terumah. How come this got left out? We finished talking about everything, down to the wash basins. Everything was already discussed. And then we shut that down. We talked about lighting the menorah, which we had not talked about when we talked about actually fashioning the menorah. And then we went on to talk about vestments, all the details in the raiments. And then we went on to talk about installation rites. And now at the end of Parshas Tzavah, we come back to the original subject. Why is this? Rashi does not address this question, interestingly, but Ramban does. Many of the other Mefarshim do. Ramban says that with regard to all of the other kelim, it says, "V'nikdash b'chvoidi v'shachanti b'soich b'nei Yisrael," that I become hallowed in my glory and I dwell amongst the Jewish people. He says this is all a remez. This all alludes to the story of Nadav and Avihu. Hashem became, so to speak, his presence became established through the tragic passing of Nadav and Avihu. People didn't take the Mishkan seriously, and Nadav and Avihu didn't make it. They said, oh, this place is serious. This is intense. You really got to watch yourself. So from that moment and onward, that's when the Mishkan really went live. Now, what happened was that Hashem gave Nasa Mitzvah Sakteris, and Hashem at that point gives the Mitzvah of Keteris when we're about to bring the Shekhinah. But the thing is that the Keteris later is used to stop the plague because other people wanted to bring Keteret. And this is, of course, Korach and his people. So because the Mizbeach is the Keteris is the story of Nadav and Avihu, and it's also the story later on of how the angel of death was stopped. So therefore, that's why it's set apart from all of the other details of the Mishkan, because the Keteris is really the nuclear element of the Mishkan. This is the most powerful agent of all the things that were done. The most potent offering was the Keteris on the golden altar, and therefore it's Koivea Bracha La'atzma. It's got its own place in the Torah. So that's one interesting detail I wanted to share. There are other reasons. Now, why do we call it a Mizbeach? If really it's called an altar, but only incense was brought there. So the Abarbanel says, because it kind of looked like the outside altar. It's a mini. You know, they have these versions of iPhones. Big, small, tiny, little. Yeah. Call it a mini. So it was a mini altar. That's what it was. It had so many things which looked so much like the outside altar. So we called it Mizbeach because it looks like the outer Mizbeach, but it's not really a Mizbeach, because a Mizbeach is a thing that all kinds of details are offered. But here we did not have many things that were offered. The Radak points out that in addition to the concept of the incense, certain times that blood of the offerings were brought here, and so it does earn the title Mizbeach nonetheless. Now you place it in front of the ark, and then he says also Lifnei HaKaporis. It's placed also in front of the cover. So there's a clearly an emphasis on the ark, which is the holiest artifact in the Mishkan, the Shekhinah of Hashem, and the Mizbeach, which is set forward to the east, or set back to the east, but the Mizbeach HaZov, which is perfectly parallel, which indicates that the offering, that the service of the Keteris was by and large most intense. And why is that connected to the menorah? The preparing of the menorah, the kindling of the menorah. So this might have something to do with the notion that the menorah's representation is that Hashem's Shekhinah dwells amongst the Jewish people. and the fact there was one lamp of the menorah that miraculously continued burning. That's why we have a Ner Tamid in Shul, to remember this. And that represents the Shekhinah. So here we have the smoke representing Hashem's presence amongst us, corresponding it, we have it directly parallel to the ark, and it's utilized, the incense is brought in tandem with the preparation and subsequent kindling of the menorah. All of this together kind of creates the full triangle or the full electromagnet of the Shekhinah.
So are there two altars? One for animal?
There's Mizbeach HaChitzon, the outer altar. And then there's Mizbeach, which is used for animal offerings and wine libations and water and meal offerings and birds and blood.
The Ketoret is done on a separate one.
The Ketoret is brought on a separate altar inside called the inner altar, and it was made of gold rather than copper. Okay. Got it. All right. So now, on page Reish Samach Dalet in the Birim book, Simen Chof Aleph, the Rebbe is going to analyze a very interesting detail that you must have picked up by now. And that is that there is a major difference between the way the Torah describes the offerings, at least the ones outside, and the offering here, meaning what the Mizbeach is used for. Where do we talk about the details of what's brought on the Mizbeach? In a different book. Where do you hear about the offerings? Forget the installation rites. What do you hear about the offerings, the daily offerings? Where are they talked about? Leviticus, Sefer Vayikra. So Sefer Shmos is where you hear about the altar. Sefer Vayikra is where you hear about what gets brought on the altar. But here, when it comes to the Mizbeach HaZov, we hear within one succession of verses, one verse cascading into the next. We hear about how you make it, where you place it, and what you bring upon it. We hear about its functionality along with its getting prepared and made and placed. And that is a very, very different thing. Even the menorah, we hear about the menorah in last week's parsha. We don't hear about lighting the menorah until this week's parsha, and in detail going forward in Parshas Baal Oscha, in the book of Numbers. We don't hear the details of the showbread that's piled high. We don't hear the details here. We hear about how you make the table, how you prepare the table. But right when it comes to the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the inner altar, it immediately tells us not only about the altar, but what the altar is used for. So the Rebbe says on page Reish Samachei, V'yesh Levayres Mashmois HaDover Ba'avodes Hashem. So we could explain this insofar as the narrative of serving Hashem is concerned. Mavur B'chsidus. It's explained in Chassidus. This is found in Lakota Teira Parshas Nasoi. It's also found in the Sfarim from the Tzemach Tzedek, like Derech Mitzvah Secha and others. Sha'akrovas hakarbonos, that the bringing of offerings, and I pointedly do not call them sacrifices, because sacrifice is a Greek word and has nothing to do with the concept of a korban, which is a permutation of the word kiruv, or closeness, and it represents taking the physical, the material, the animalistic, and bringing it close to Hashem. So the notion of hakravat korbanot, of bringing forth offerings, shehi al mizbeach hachitzon, which takes place on the outer altar, makbila la'avoda b'chelke hachitzoni shel adam. This corresponds to, it's parallel to, the service that a person engages in, but one that is on the exterior, the outer activities. It's the outer orbit of our existence, of the things we do, and that would mean Kiyum Ritzayin Yishla HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fulfillment of God's will in the area known as garments. Garments are superficial. Garments can be put on. Garments can also be removed. So therefore, it's Chitzayini. It's only on the surface. You don't absorb your jacket. Your clothing don't become a part of you. And this idea would be, of course, with regard to action. Actions are things we do. It's not who we are. Dibur is things we say or communicate, still not who we are. And even machshava, even to actively think about it, a person could say, let me think about that. It's not who I am. Thinking about it, it's an activity I'm engaged in. You can be involved in a thinking activity, a communicative activity, or an action activity. But still, it's all things you engage in, you role play, it's something on the surface. The ilu haktaras haktaras, the bringing of incense, shehi al mizbeach hapnimi, which this takes place on the inner altar, makbila la'avoida bechelkei napnimi shel adam. That corresponds to the efforts and the toil that's expended on the inside. What would that mean, the inside? What's the inside of a person? Or how do you kindle your inner fire? The inside of a person, my dear friends, is the relationship that we have with God because we are. Not the relationship we have with God because of what we do. Not the relationship we have with God because of what we say, or even because of what we think. And we do nurture our relationship with God by all of these things. These are the currencies of our relationship. The currency of our relationship is mitzvahs. Mitzvahs that are done, mitzvahs that are spoken, and even mitzvahs to think. There are certain mitzvahs you're supposed to think about something. We have a big one coming up to Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah. Remembering is an act of thinking. However, that doesn't make you Jewish. It doesn't make you Jewish. It makes you do Jewish things. I asked the guy, are you coming to the Purim Suda? He says, leave me alone. It's the middle of the week. I can't be bothered. I'm like, I want to tear my hair out. I said, to go, it's too Jewish for you? He goes, what do you think? I'm not Jewish because I'm not coming to the Purim Suda. I said, I didn't say you're not Jewish. I'm just suggesting you do something Jewish. Like, why should it be a regular Tuesday? It's such an easy mitzvah. What, you should come, smile, be happy. Oh, it sounds so painful. And you should eat and even drink wine. Wow, what a difficult thing. I can't be bothered. It's Tuesday. It's Purim. It's not Tuesday. It's an amazing day. It's an opportunity. And then people want to know. So why are my kids not interested in this? Well, because you're giving them a great example by showing that you don't give a hoot if it's Purim or Tuesday. But he's right. Doesn't make him Jewish. Doesn't make him Jewish. You are what you are. The question is, what do you do about it? So the Mizbech HaChitzoin represents what you do about it. The Mizbech HaPnimi represents who you are. Well, if he's there, and based on that teaching of Chassidus, that's what says, this is a teaching from the Alter Rebbe, further elaborated by the Tzemach Tzedek. Our Rebbe says, based on this, we can explain the reason for the fact that the Tzivuyim al HaKrovas HaKorbanos Mefiim Benifred, that the details in the Torah, the instructions about bringing the Korban, show up in a different place, in another book, whereas the details of bringing the Ketores come alongside the actual instructions of making the Mizbeach. Why? When a person engages in serving Hashem, but they do so in a superficial way, the representation of Mizbeach HaChitzein, who zakuk lahirois neisafes hakol tzad v'shal, you need instructions. I want to do this. Tell me how. How should I put a tefillin? How should I light Shabbos candles? How should I give tzedakah? What is the meaning of keeping kosher? How exactly should I fulfill the mitzvah of loving my fellow Jew? And what should my house look like? It should be full of books. What kind of books? Where should the books be? And so on and so forth. You have to know that you're actually doing what God wants and not doing what you want. You can't say, this feels meaningful to me. I think this is the way I would envision a mitzvah should be done. Dude, you're contradicting the code of Jewish law. Oh, here you go with your Shulchan Aruch again. Please stop it. I once had a student many, many years ago in Yerushalayim when I was teaching there. And he was, he had like Jerusalem syndrome. He was like all fired up. And so we had these big windowsills where we were studying then. Like the windows here, actually, big hollow window. And he used to like the Davish Monesra in the windowsill. He used to get in the windowsill and he used to go like this. He used to go really high. So I once said to him, I said, Adam, you know, you're not allowed to daven on a platform unless it's 6 feet by 6 feet, because then you're worried about falling out and your mind is not in davening. It's hard enough to be mindful. He goes, you and your Shulchan Aruch getting in the way of my devotion to God. I'm like, yeah, that about sums it up. Me and my Shulchan Aruch getting in the way of your devotion to God because you want to do it your way. Well, guess what? You have to do it God's way. Do it God's way. If you want to do me a favor, do what I want. You know, it says, Ritzayne shel adam zehu kvayde. The will of a person, that's his honor. You want to honor a person? I'm going to honor you. He said, I don't want you to honor me that way. No, I'm going to honor you the way I want to honor you. It doesn't work like that. I'm going to honor God the way I want to honor God. But God asks you how he wants you to honor him. Why are you telling God how you want to honor him? But that's all about chitzaynis. However, when a yid fires up his inner fire, when a yid kindles his inner neshama, bepnimius nafshei, umegalo bekachas akesher amokslakadosh baruch hu bepnimius nafshei, when a yid through mitzvahs, mitzvahs done, mitzvahs spoken, mitzvahs thought. But through mitzvahs, you actually kindle and fire up the flame that burns beneath the surface, the latent love that every one of us has by virtue of the fact that we are members of Am Yisrael. Gilizeh mashpia al hanu isnaguse. Then that, when you reveal the inner neshama, that does have a direct influence on the person. The person doesn't say, how should I feel love for Hashem? Now, this doesn't get choreographed. There are no instructions for that. How should I feel fervor and passion? Do mitzvahs, learn Torah, it will come to you. So this does not have a separate instruction book. You don't, when it comes to say a hergish, a feeling can't be wrong. The hergish, the feeling isn't choreographed, it isn't legislated. The feeling has to be organic, the feeling has to be real. And that's what suggested the Rebbe, is why when it comes to the outer altar representing the things we do, we have a separate rule book. A separate area where it's discussed, here's what you're supposed to do. When it comes to the Mizbeach HaPnimi, representing kindling our inner fire, the Mizbeach is spoken of, and what's done with the Mizbeach, it comes right alongside it, because here, you don't need instructions. Here, go with the flow, as they say. You feel a love for Hashem, that's a wonderful thing. That's beautiful. Obviously, you have to do what Hashem asks, but the feeling and fervor is not a legislated one, but rather very much organic and natural. So let's fire up our neshama, and let's be a Lebedik Yid.